I've just worked out I can hide myself.
You can?
Yes. That's so much less distracting. Like, I can't see myself now.
How do you do that?
If you hover over your thing, there's a little minimize button.
Oh, God, that's so much better.
Right? Yeah. I can't help it. I'm like a fucking canary with a mirror. I can't stop looking at myself.
I'm not going to say in vain, but I like staring at my own face.
I'm so vain. I think this webcam is about me.
You probably think Zoom call is about you.
Hey, Joe. Well, I can still say this, iPhone wanker.
When does yours arrive?
Between the 1st and the 12th of May, because I ordered it straight from Apple, and I just realised Callum, who's also, by the way, pre-ordered one. I know.
Sorry.
Oh, crikey, that was distorted. Your spiteful laughter, keep it within the clipping range. but he ordered his off Amazon that's coming on Saturday. How are you getting on? How's bread? I tell by the amount of bread you're baking that your mental health
No, I've been a bit wobbly this week. I don't know why, but everything has sort of crashed down on a cool. I can't even function like a little bit for a couple of days. So that was fun, but I still managed to go for a run yesterday. And in a moment of complete and utter panic, I bought 32 kilos of flour.
Right, yeah, that's quite a lot of flour for quite a small kitchen. Where are you putting that?
My Le Creuset cupboard is now my flour cupboard, and then my bread bin is now just full of bread flour.
What a very concern. I like the idea of you like maybe tucking it into the spare bed.
It was considered, but the spare room has got so much junk in it because I've been having clear outs, and so now everything for the charity shop is in the spare room.
Yeah, that's it. We've had so much time to organise stuff, and then I've got these bags of stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can't actually take this anywhere.
Which is fun.
Bury it.
Again, first floor flat. If I bury it, that would just be putting it in my downstairs in living room.
Yeah, they might work out it's you.
So so I'm now baking a loaf of bread every day and just taking them to people because it gives my day some structure and routine. I think everyone is turning to bread baking as some kind of weirdly soothing thing, which I can't judge on because I am literally making a loaf of sourdough apple and thyme sourdough at the moment every day.
I feel a bit like an upper class Victorian lady, like filling my morning with watercolors and baking and improving myself in quite genteel ways. Oh, apart from the fact like I set up a door anchor so I can do chest presses with my fucking resistance bands, which the Victorian ladies probably didn't. Hench.
I'm gonna start doing weights again. I've got some little, like, what are they called?
Dumbbells.
Thank you. I'm going to start adding some of that into my day because I feel like lockdown is a really good time to get hench.
Yeah, I listened to the latest Cortex episode and CGP Grey basically is shaming me into fitness. So,
yeah, I don't like feel like anyone should have to do fitness in the state of things. It's just I don't normally have time for it and now I do, and working out and baking are the two things I can do every day. Feel like I have achieved something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I say shaming, I mean, I took shame from it. Obviously, he wasn't saying it in a shaming way. I just draw shame from other people doing things well. He made a good point in that that is one thing you can do that you know is going to be good for you. And it will help in multiple ways. It will make you healthier during a time where you're worried about your health, and it will help you sleep, and it will release endorphins.
Endorphins are good. I do. I think part of the reason my mental health is struggling so much is I'm so used to being super productive, and I'm genuinely now just feeling very guilty and anxious about the fact that I haven't done enough while I've been in lockdown, which is so stupid. Like, it's exactly the same feeling I have when I'm not in lockdown and I'm panicking about deadlines and writing and have I done enough today, which is really fun.
Which does tell you something, which is, it doesn't matter if you now start up and become super productive, it's not going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
If it's exactly the same feeling you get when you're doing five jobs. And my instinct would be to try and suggest some things you could do, but actually no, because if you feel this way all the time, then perhaps the thing to do is try and get through the other side of it.
Yes, I am now trying to acknowledge why I have that. I'm trying to be very sensible and mature and acknowledge why I have that feeling and anxiety and then deal with that rather than trying to give myself five jobs. But I am doing something every day so I can point to it and say that was a thing.
Yeah, non-zero days is the
even if it is just a loaf of bread or doing yoga, which I did the best yoga video today.
Ooh, which one?
It was like the 45 minute deep body stretch one.
Oh, that makes you feel like high afterwards. That's great. Nice.
I genuinely feel like a sponge that's been really thoroughly wrung out. It was amazing.
Cool. Yeah,
even if I did sort of get stuck. I can't do Gomme Carson very well.
Can't do what?
this.
Oh, cow legs.
Cow legs, yeah.
Yeah. That is the best one ever if you get it right. Like, if you manage to sit down into it perfectly, it feels amazing. But it's really hard to adjust yourself into it if you get it wrong as you sit down.
Yeah, my left hip's really funny at the moment. So, like, we were doing lizard and I couldn't even get down onto my forearms, which I normally can quite easily. So I tried to go into cow legs and I was sitting into it backwards from all fours. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, slipped over and then lay on my back like a turtle for a bit.
It's a pose. Turtle's an animal too.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I've accepted that there is still room for me to grow and learn as a... Fuck, I hate
as a turtle on your back.
As a turtle. The Chelonian mobile.
We're a little while off of small gods yet, but there's something in that.
Oh, I can't wait for small gods. Wizard is next.
Yeah, I've got it off the shelf. I'm gonna see if I can read the first part before Thursday morning next. We'll see.
I am rather pleased to say that I did already have a copy that wasn't my signed first edition. So
nice.
Which I thought meant I would start reading it right away, and I have got it off the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I read Chocola. I finally read that.
Ooh,
I started it months
did
ago.
Did you enjoy it?
Very much. I love it a lot. It gave me real anxiety near the end. Like, it was really well written and like building up to the climax in quite like a kind of a fast paced but slow paced way. So I stayed up till about 2 a.m. reading it, and it was amazing. And
nice.
I love it.
Joanne Harris is a ridiculously good author.
Anna tells me that the next one, The Lollipop Shoes, is really good as well. So.
I am rereading The Essex Serpent by Sarah Perry, which I only read once when it first came out, and I like.
Is that like the oldie timey detective-y novel, or is that something else?
It's oldie timey. I wouldn't say it's super detective-y. It's about a woman whose abusive husband dies, and she's super into archaeology, and she runs away to Essex, and there's a reverend. Oh, it's so good. It's really good writing. I read it when it first came out, but I like. Read it really quickly because I was in one of those like devouring books phases.
Yeah.
So I don't think I really took it in that well. So I'm really enjoying rereading it.
Good. See, I think that should count towards your non-zeros as well. Remember that reading is good.
Yeah. It's one of those things like, because I don't count like playing a computer game, obviously, I kind of don't count reading either. And it's like, well, reading is taking something in and doing something.
And in a very practical sense, you are a writer as well. And reading good writing is part of becoming a good writer.
Like, yeah. I feel bad calling myself a writer right now because I literally have not written anything apart from like parody poems for the group chat
Neil
and the
Gaiman
podcast.
Still calling himself a writer.
And he's mostly tending to, I mean, he is literally writing though.
Is he?
Yeah. They've got like a little... cave in the Airbnb they're staying in New Zealand that he takes it, and like he gets a day where he gets to go light candles in the cave and go just write for a day.
What the fuck, that's so metal. Oh, Neil Gaiman is like the most Neil Gaiman thing
combined with Amanda Palmer being the most Amanda Palmer thing,
right? Oh, I want a cave. I don't like caves.
I need to find
something like that though, where I can like, oh, not outside though. This country's too small for that. I would find myself somewhere weird to try and just write somewhere weird. I know that's a good tip. Find somewhere completely different to try and write. Mm. Maybe I'll sit in the shed and get eaten by rats.
Do you have rats in your shed?
Often. They ate my broom.
Oh, that's a bit rude of them. You should educate them. I don't really have, like, I'm fairly short of rooms in this house. The spare room I can't sit in because it is footed storage and utter chaos.
You sit in the bath. No bath in it. Just sit in the bath, fully closed. Book. Like, it's just got to be weird, isn't it? That's the thing. I might try that.
No, writing for me works best when I am in my very comfortable... I have, like, a perfect way of nesting the cushions on the sofa for writing. Okay.
So all of your parts are completely gravity-less and you don't have to worry... Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I also have to trick myself into it. Like, I have to just sit and be near a notebook and pen and then kind of just put the odd word down.
Like coaxing like a rescue dog out of its crate.
Yeah, basically.
It's going to leave a treat there for me.
Well, like normally when I'm really super blocked and I can't write, I have to just force myself into it. That's why I do like a month every year where I write a poem every day, and why I've done like those write a play a day challenges in the past, because it just forces me to write through not having anything to write about. But this time is really different. I've tried doing that a couple of times and my brain's just gone, no, you, this is just making you unhappier and more anxious. Stop it, fucking stop it, you dickhead.
Well, that's nice that you've got that voice in you now. You didn't used to have that.
I have trained this voice to occasionally make me stop doing things that make me unhappy. So I am not going to try and force myself to write through not being able to write. I'm just going to leave a notebook and pen near myself at all times and occasionally pop some words in it until I end up able to write every day again.
What I've got at the moment when I'm reading is a notebook and pen nearby so I can just write down tiny little either words or snippets that I really enjoy.
I've just got to very quickly go and do something to bread.
Cool, cool, cool.
And very gently stretch it every half an hour so that the gluten learns how to be gluten.
Oh.
I vaguely understand the science behind what I'm doing.
Is it like a fold? Is it a stretch and fold? I saw that as a gift.
It's a very wet dough, so you kind of just lift it and gently and then fold over and then...
Oh, slap it back down.
On four sides. Yeah. But you, no slappy, very gentle.
Oh, no slappy. Don't slap
No slappy. Don't slap the bread.
No molesty.
No molesty. We're very nice to the bread, which means the gluten develops gently. And then I don't fully understand the science behind this, but it means the... Because gluten is a protein... And it's two different molecules coming together during the kneading process. And by doing it like this, the gluten proteins, which are the things that people are intolerant to, don't develop quite as much. So if it's still in no way safe for a celiac, but say someone gets a bit bloaty while eating bread, because this gets this very gentle stretch and a long slow ferment rather than kneading and very quickly proving, this won't make them feel quite so bloaty.
Self-care is treating yourself like a wet sourdough. Hashtag.
I want to make that into like one of those Instagram inspirational quotes.
Anyways, yeah, intro us. Tell me why I'm here.
Hello and welcome to The Truth Shall Make You Fret, a podcast in which we are usually reading and recapping every book from Terry Pratchett's Discworld series one at a time in chronological order. I'm Joanna Hagen-Young.
And I'm Francine Carroll. I don't know why I'm here.
We don't know why we're here. It's a bonus pandemic lockdown special.
It is, which means basically I wanted to talk to Joanna and she's come up with a tenuous excuse for us to record it.
Yeah, basically shits and grins. So we have planned nothing. We have a couple of lovely listener questions. We would just do a whole mailbag episode, but like we've only had one email.
Yeah, what the fuck, guys?
All right, let's maybe not have a go at our listeners.
I'm not having a go. That's just how I speak to people. Yeah, maybe I should be nicer. All right, cool. So let's do the listener questions first. They probably make some sense.
Yes. So this is a lovely listener who also sent us some good questions back when we did our bonus Hogswatch special in
that was so
December.
Long ago. So
that
long.
Was, God, that was when we could sit in the same room.
The lilac's out. I walked to town yesterday and the lilac is flowering.
Yes, I suppose.
April's happened. What?
Yeah, it's nearly the end of April now.
Yeah.
So which means, weird. Oh, we'll definitely have to do a bonus episode next month for the 25th.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Quick, before we go into questions and ridiculousness, we should probably say about spoilers, this is normally a very spoiler-like podcast, but as this is a bonus episode, I would assume potential spoilers for the rest of the Discworld series, although we'll still avoid saying anything about the Shepherd's Crown.
We'll
put some time codes in the show notes and what have you.
All of that stuff.
Because we're not total dickheads.
Well.
I'm not saying we're not dickheads, but... So, thank you, lovely listener, for emailing us some questions. These are good fun. Number one. Rincewind's love of potatoes is something that we see grow exponentially with each book he appears in, and his daydreams about them have most definitely made me hungry while reading them in the past. What is your favourite way to eat potatoes? Boiled, fried, mashed, etc. I'll let you go first, Francine.
Very good question. I think for me it would have to be a three-way tie, I'm afraid, depending on mood. Yes.
Sorry.
Joanna, we're talking about potatoes. Let's try and not make this dirty, eh? Hey, like dirty soil foods. Anyway, fuck me. What am I saying? Potatoes. Smiley faces, obviously.
Oh yeah,
are up there. It's not necessarily the tastiest way, but it's nostalgic and delightful. I really like croquettes. So the kind of mashed and fried potato tube things. You know?
Those are good. Might get some of those from the supermarket.
But probably the top is going to be thin and crispy fries, I think, yeah. I will elevate that slightly above the other two. So that's the winner. Crispy fries, preferably with cheese on.
Ooh, even yes.
Better with gravy. Oh, I've just remembered chips. Maybe I'm just hungry. I'm sticking with it. Fries. I like fries the best as long as they're really well made.
Okay. Top three then. I know what my number one is. I don't know what order my other two are.
Okay. Just put it out there and we can work through it.
I'm going to go with number three. Really, really shitty, soggy, took 40 minutes to get here, cheesy chips from the kebab shop with garlic mayo.
Oh, God.
Because it's the worst and I haven't had it in so long and I miss it so much.
You can still have that, you know. Pizza Mamma Mia is still delivering.
I know, but it's something I only order when I've got back from the pub at like 2 in the morning and I'm not going out till 2 in the morning anymore. Actually, I haven't gone out till 2 in the morning for about 5 years. So when I get back from the pub at midnight and I order bad, like, kebab chips, because they're only good if you're really drunk.
They were never any good.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, no. They fill you with regret as well. So then number two is definitely Chip Shop chips.
Mm.
I have been super missing Chip Shop chips while in lockdown, especially a chip bussy, which, like, really has to be supermarket sliced white bread.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, too much butter.
Yes. Now, do you put ketchup in there?
No.
Nothing?
Oh. I'm not really a ketchup person.
No, you're not, are you? What do you have with chips, usually?
I usually have mayo, but not with a chip butty.
Okay, so just the, like, salt, you're relying on the grease here.
Yeah, yeah.
For the lubrication, yeah.
That's why it's so much butter. And
there's
yeah.
a special, like, kind of pain when you swallow three types of carbs at once, isn't there? Like, it stretches your swallowing tube. What's that one called? esophagus?
Esophagus. Yeah. Swallowing tube, though. I think we should keep swallowing tube.
Well, it's the swallowing tube and the breathing tube. I always forget which one's which.
I'm pretty sure the esophagus is the food one.
Is the other one the larynx?
I mean, that's something to do with your throat. Fuck, I don't know. It's been a long time since GCSE biology.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I'm interrupting your potato reverie. Please continue.
No, that's fine. So Chip Shop chips I miss a lot because those are something I cannot recreate in lockdown. Although I did make some amazing chips last night.
Mm-hmm.
I will show you a picture of. This is the Nigella Lawson Tuscan fries recipe.
Oh, what? What? That sounds good already. That does look good. What am I looking at exactly?
So this is just... chips cooked in hot oil, but they start in cold oil, so they come up to temperature with the oil. Whole rocked. Kind of, yeah. And then there's whole garlic cloves go into the oil as well for the last 10 minutes or so of cooking, and about a minute before you scoop it out, you throw in some rosemary too.
How does Nigella Lawson make everything so much more sinful?
And then obviously drowned in flaky sea salt.
Obviously.
And I had those last night with steak and béarnaise sauce, which was filth. Absolute filth. It was beautiful.
Oh, I'll tell you what, a steak sounds good right now, which means I'm not eating enough iron. Thank you for that.
Yes.
I need to go and eat some fucking spinach.
Good vegetarianism.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Oh, yeah. Number one definitely has to be Dauphinoire, which is the best thing in the world.
Yeah, see, it's good if it's made really well, and I just cannot do it justice compared to you, so...
Next time I make some, I'll do like an extra little dish and bring you some.
Like someone who can't fend for themselves, except it's only for complicated potatoes.
It's not even that complicated. It's like three ingredients and some slicing.
Oh, yeah, but it takes like 5 hours.
You have a mandolin. I have to slice them by hand.
I have a mandolin, don't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never really used it properly because I've heard so many horror stories and I've injured myself so terribly on so many kitchen implements. I'm not sure I need another one to...
You do need to use a decent finger guard when you use a mandolin. Like, I get a bit nervous around them and I'm fairly confident. Not in speech, but in large, sharp objects.
I got a scalpel and a cutting board so I can make stencils for my painting. And I'm terrified using it every time. Just... It's so sharp and I'm so clumsy. That sounds like the plums poem. They were
so sharp.
Forgive
so
me.
Clumsy.
It is so sharp, and I am so clumsy. And now there's blood all over the floor.
I need to get a Stanley knife for doing like fancy cut patterns in my sourdough. But yeah, dauphinoise are definitely my favourite kind of potatoes, and now I really want them.
Well, I'm afraid I can't really sit here while you go and make dauphinoise. So
I also don't have all of the ingredients currently in the house. There's no double cream.
So,
oh yeah, more questions. Yes, there are. Sorry, I was still thinking about potatoes.
Yeah.
In which we are all rinse wind. Have either of you gotten to see or participate in any of the Discworld stage play adaptations?
No, I didn't know there were any. And what?
Did you not? Oh,
I've forgotten.
I knew they existed. Who is it? I think it's Stephen. I'm going to double check because I feel like this is the kind of thing that people will definitely correct me on.
I knew Nation had been put on stage because I read Terry Pratchett's essay about it.
There are scripts available. There's a couple of them that have been adapted for stage and you can buy the scripts, and it's not like Andron Groups put them on quite a lot. I don't think it's particularly expensive to get the rights to put them on. I'm trying to find who actually did. Stephen Briggs has adapted most of them, although it was Mark Ravenhill who did Nation. Stephen Briggs also reads a lot of the audiobooks.
Ah, there it is, yeah.
Yeah, Weird Sisters, Mork, Guards, Men-at-Arms, Masquerade obviously would work really well, Carpe Jaculum, loads of them have been done. I've never had a chance to go see one because that's just not come up that near to me. And I tried to convince a theatre company and a guy I was working with a few years back to put it on, but he didn't think it would sell, despite me being his marketing person, stood there saying, like, we can easily fill an entire audience with Discworld fans. He'll travel to see it if we do it well.
Yeah.
That was fun. I loved working with that dude.
Yeah, that dude.
That dude.
Mm-hmm.
The theatre company I work with now, I'd love to do it, but we only stage new writing, so I need to, like, figure out a way to convince the people I work with to do it, just not quite under the banner of the theatre company, which I reckon they'd be up for.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
In fact, as Weird Sisters is the next book, and I'm 90% sure I have a copy of the script, I might see if I can organise some live reading from it for our next few weeks' worth of episodes.
Ooh, cool.
Because I know a lot of bored actors in lockdown.
Cool, cool, cool.
We could do a little group reading.
Yeah, I've had like random passages from Macbeth in my head because just the line, the Weird Sisters obviously starts you off on the hand in hand, posters of sea and land, blah, blah, blah.
I'm going with establishing now, and I'll re-establish this in the actual episodes, that it is not bad luck to say Macbeth unless you are in a theatre or on a stage, so it's okay for us to say it on the podcast.
Okay, also I don't care, so.
I know, but like.
Oh, yeah, you get tweets, yeah.
Thespians and nerds.
Nobody cares, thespians.
Hey. Also, hot potato waffle stalls, pluck to make amends.
But you can't spin around when you've got your wired headphones on, so.
Also, I can't really do the like clappy thing with you from on Zoom. Also, this isn't a listener question, but this is something I saw a conversation about on Twitter the other day that I thought was interesting. You know, yeah. All those weird like hand clapping games we did as kids?
Yeah.
Like, what was the really specific one? That I went to a Chinese restaurant to buy a loaf of bread.
A loaf of bread.
He wrapped it up in a 5-pound note, and this is what he said. Where did we learn these? Like,
school.
Yeah.
Playground.
But where did the other people know them from? Like, what's the...
From, like, the year above, I guess.
Yeah, and then where did they get it from?
I think it probably just appears in the world like a apparition, I don't know.
Well, that's what I mean. That, like, if you actually look at the words... That one specifically is one of the fucking weirder ones. Elvis Presley, girls are sexy, sitting in the backseat, drinking Pepsi, having her baby.
Be in the Navy, 1, 2, 3.
I think ours was, like, boys go woof woof, girls go wah.
Oh.
I don't know. We had a bunch of different... It was Catholic school.
Yeah, there was also... Oh, God. Some of them were really dirty and, like, we were very young.
Oh, yeah.
We are the Backstreet Girls. We wear our hair in curls. We wear our dungarees. And there's, like, a whole bit about...
That one got really filthy. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. I'm such a prude now. I'm not even going to sing it.
They're like weird old folk memories or something that just... Like, someone must have made them up at some point. And then it moved organically across generations to get to the point where, like, the original words were something completely different.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's like skipping rhymes as well.
Yeah, I was never much good at skipping.
Oh, I love skipping.
Double Dutch stuff.
But yeah, but where does it all come from? I'm very curious about the weird old folk memories of seven-year-old girls.
What was the last listener question?
A concept I once saw out in the fandom, albeit very briefly, is that Rincewind would make a better witch than a wizard, as more of his skills lie in bluffs or mental games than in actual magic. What's your take on that?
Hmm.
Which is not a take I'd actually heard or thought of before, but I quite like it as a theory.
I think he would make a better witch than he does a wizard, but I'm not sure that he's selfless enough to be a witch.
No, I mean, I think he is his very, very base nature of being. He is a wizard. Like, there is nothing else. He would accept being in himself. But his way of doing magic is very witchly.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't not do magic for the sake of knowing when to do or not do magic. He doesn't do magic because he's shit at it. Apart from, like, obviously some occasions in the dungeon dimensions.
Yeah. He's also a coward. And to be a witch, you need to be able to face a lot of shit.
True. But then he faces a lot of shit despite being a coward.
Not if he can possibly help it. I think in sorcery, actually, he obviously is kind of driven by his conscience to go and do it. But I don't think that would work in the long term. Witches are generally, maybe he could be a traveling witch, but generally they're quite settled and part of the community. And I don't think Rincewind could take an active role in a community like that. I think as a librarian's assistant, he does quite well.
Yeah, I do like how his place as a librarian's assistant. We just got a tweet from the Tulip Wizard saying that he just listened to his first episode, really enjoyed it, and he's looking forward to catching up and going along for the rest of the ride. So shout out Tulip Wizard. We hope you enjoy the rest of the ride and eventually getting to this episode.
Yeah, hi. Hello from the distant past, Tulip Wizard.
You say distant.
Distant-ish.
So now we've got to come up with our own things to talk about, which is great.
I can always tack on the half an hour of us talking about food the other week.
No, save that. That can be another bonus.
Or the video clips I've been slowly tacking together into a video.
Oh God, don't do that. No one needs to see video of me makeupless, braless, and
that's all right.
Mildly
hairless. We're all very low resolution, so.
Oh, that's fine then. You could blur me out.
A proper pixel face bollocks.
Yeah, I don't want anyone to know what this looks like right now.
I'll do like the voice manipulation as well.
What, so I sound like this?
Yeah. It'd be utterly pointless, everyone knows who you are.
Yeah, I feel like disguising my voice on the podcast I co-host is probably not particularly necessary.
Tell me something to paint, by the way, because I feel like painting today, but I've been completely out of inspiration.
You should paint. Do you want something you can paint from life in your house or something you can paint from photos and references?
Both.
Okay. In your house, you should paint your favourite coffee mug.
Okay.
And from photos and references, you should paint a giraffe.
Okay.
Because they're my favourite mythical creature. Because they're
stupid
not real.
Long horse.
They're not real. I'm sorry. I refuse. I don't care that I've seen them in person at the zoo. I refuse to accept them. They are ridiculous. Giraffes
aren't
real.
They are ridiculous. They are stupid.
Yeah, they're not real.
Have you seen like the footage of them fighting?
How do they?
Have you not?
No.
Oh, they like whip their necks around and hit each other, and it looks quite comical. But then afterwards, they're all bleeding. Like those horns are quite hard.
See, they're pointless, stupid animals, and they're not real.
But you love them.
Yes, they're my favourite mythical creature.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, for something you hate so much, I don't know why that's your favourite mythical creature.
Because, as a myth, it's brilliant. It's incredibly entertaining. A stupid, long-necked horse that can only fight by whipping other people with its neck. Fucking brilliant. But then you actually put that out into real world, and that's an example of why there is no such thing.
And they give birth standing
design.
Up, so the giraffe, the baby giraffe,
just
enters the world by falling 6 foot. Yeah.
They don't have working vocal cords because their necks are too long.
Oh. What noise do they make?
They don't.
No noise.
They don't make noises because they have stupid necks.
Oh.
Hence, they're not real. Made up.
Okay.
Intelligent design does not work as a philosophical argument in a world where giraffes exist.
Okay, cool. Do you want to go out for us then? The puppy with the jam came up on my feed again. Oh, I love that.
Oh, I love the puppy with the jam.
Oh, covered in jam. Look at him sticking his tongue out. He's so full of jam.
Thank you for listening to this Truth Shall Make Ye Fret bonus pandemic special. We will be back next week to start talking about Weird Sisters.
Yes, something. We'll actually have something like planned for next week.
And not just record ourselves talking bollocks for an hour.
2 hours.
Oh, get us.
But you'll be lucky if you get an hour of content out of it, dear listeners, because I'm cutting quite a lot of it. It's for your own good.
It's where we got angry.
Yes.
So we'll be back next week with Weird Sisters. In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram at The Truth Shall Make You Fret, Twitter at Make You Fret Pod, Facebook at The Truth Shall Make You Fret, and you can email us your thoughts, castles and snacks at The Truth Shall Make You Fret Pod at gmail.com.
I would like to reiterate what I said a couple of episodes ago, by the way, because I've been thinking about it a bit more lately. Anyone who's struggling with being newly sober or whatever at the moment and who just needs someone to chat to, hit me up. I'm a few years in and I just know how shit it must be if you were new. At Francie Bambi.
Yeah. And if you need any help with like cooking, I guess, hit me up.
Or poetry?
Cooking or poetry? Those are the two things I have.
You're multi-talented. Cooking, poetry, shaving your head.
Yeah. All of these things, get in touch and I will do my best to advise. I've been making text video sourdough tutorials for the friends I'm giving sourdough starter to.
Have you?
That is where my lockdown has gone. Very middle class. I'm going to get very into jam making next week, probably.
That is adorable. By the way, how serious are you about not wanting any of this video out? Because like, I'm not going to put any more time into finding clips if you...
No, you can put video out. It's
okay,
fine.
Cool. So listeners, if I can be asked at any point over the next few days, you might see a little bonus, some outtakes and some whatever bits of video I randomly come across that I like from these little Zoom recordings.
Marvellous. Exciting.
We might have a YouTube channel.
Does that mean I have to make a YouTube channel?
No, I can do that. It's fine.
Perfect. Awesome. email us with any thoughts and things that you might have about stuff.
Yes, and thank you. Who's the listener who sent us questions, by the way? We didn't give them a shout out.
She's just our lovely favourite listener.
What's her name?
Last time she emailed, I said, do you mind if we use your name when we read out your questions? And she said, don't worry, just call me a listener. So
okay.
I'm assuming
favourite listener, gold star. Gold star for you.
Thank you for our questions. We enjoyed them.
Yes. After the pandemic is over, if you would like me to send you a literal gold star, please get in touch and I will do so.
Marvellous.
I mean, not like a literal star, just a sticker.
Yeah.
You understand, I cannot. My powers, though mighty, are limited.
Had I the pluck the stars from heaven... Ah, oh, fuck.
You're that so was going to be sick. Really...
No, what's that poem? Oh, no, it's Cloths of Gold. Never mind.
What?
That Yeats poem, had I something, I would pluck X from the sky and spread them under your feet and cloths of gold. Ask your dad. He's the one who gave me the Yeats book.
All right.
Cloths of heaven. That's what it is.
Okay, so the whole stanza?
Had I the heaven's embroidered cloths enwrought with gold and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark cloths of night and light and the half light, I would spread the cloths under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I've spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly because you tread on my dreams.
Okay, so what she said, except I have like a little sheet of gold star stickers instead of astral powers.
Same thing.
Thumbs up. I'm giving a thumbs up because I've forgotten nobody can see me.
Yeah.
Or can they?
Da, 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 da. Sorry, that was meant to be the X-Files theme.
It's not.
No, I don't mean X-Files. I mean the other one.
Twilight Zone?
Yes.
I always get the two mixed up in my head. Now I've forgotten the actual X-Files theme. Do, do, do. No, wait, that's Doctor Who.
Oh, that's it.
No earthly means. Okay, so quick point here.
Yeah.
David Duchovny in series 1 and 2 of X-Files is so beautiful, it hurts me.
Oh, yeah.
Gillian Anderson now is so beautiful, it hurts me. Like, she was very beautiful at the time, but, like, they seem to have peaked at very different points in their life, is what I mean.
Yeah, David Duchovny is definitely at his absolute, like, glowing peak in early X-Files, whereas Gillian Anderson now, just, I'd quite like her to step on me and then cook me scrambled eggs.
That's very specific.
Look, I was but trying okay. to think of something. I was trying to think of something that fell into the SFW category.
Okay, cool. I think on that we'd probably better go because we're clearly hungry or something else entirely.
And I've got to go and deliver a loaf of bread.
Summer left to Ben. Enjoy your new role as Kiki's delivery service. Get yourself a broomstick and a large bow. Oh, you'd look really nice in a large red bow.
I must have a large red bow in the house somewhere. If not, I have the means to make one.
Oh, I wish I could draw anime. I'd draw you as Kiki.
I want to get a big basket.
You can draw anime. There you go. There's something you can do.
I can't draw anime that well anymore.
Oh, okay.
That is a skill from 10 years ago, me. Anyway.
With
that, dear listeners.
We will actually leave, I promise. Oh, man. I can't wait till we can go for coffee again, though.
Although I feel like now we're going to have to start taking microphones and record. No, we don't. We don't have to record everything we fucking do.
No, we don't. That would make us very obnoxious.
I mean,
more so, we are quite obnoxious people. We really don't need to dial it up any further.
Good point. Would you like to do the goodbye words, Francine?
Oh, yeah, sure.
With that, dear listener.
Don't let us detain you. Don't sue us.
I don't think we're going to get sued for badly singing the X-Files theme.
I don't know, man. My narcissism is dialed up to 10 at the moment.
If you download the actual X-Files theme and put it into the show, we might get sued.
Ego. Okay, yeah. I won't do that.
Right. I'm going to go. Because okay, I need to pee and do things to Brad and have a life.
I'm going to Hoover and eat some Doritos. Bye.
Excellent.
I will eat some Doritos then Hoover. That's the better way around.
That is a much better way around.
Love.
Love your face.
Bye. Oh, how do I end this? Every time I can never remember how to. There it is.